KTY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, earlier today on a national basis, we were again reminded of the brevity of life as Rush Limbaugh at age 70 passed away from stage 4 lung cancer. And certainly we pass along our condolences to his family and loved ones. Scripture reminds us that our life is but a vapor, which is here for a time and vanishes away. Every day there are thousands in our nation that pass into eternity, and it's critically important for each individual to come to faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Such faith is required before one steps into eternity, and we never know when that might be, and that's why Scripture reminds us that today is the day of salvation. And no doubt some of you are as you listen now, and some of the very things we talk about today are going to cause our minds and our understanding to be thinking about what or who you are placing your trust. You see, over the past several weeks, there has been debate and discussion regarding President Joe Biden being a devout Catholic. The media has portrayed this persona. His press secretary, Jen Psaki, has indicated he is a devout Catholic, even pointing to his attendance at Mass. Yet just days ago, the Archbishop of Kansas City, Kansas, said President Biden should stop defining himself as a devout Catholic because of his pushing pro-abortion policies. Other such condemnations have also taken place. Yet on Inauguration Day, Pope Francis extended his cordial good wishes to President Biden with no call-out on his position on abortion. But all of this really begs the question, what is a devout Catholic? And is there a difference between a devout Catholic and a devout Christian? Well, joining us today, we welcome back Mike Gendron. Mike is the founder and director of Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. Mike was a devout Roman Catholic for over 3 decades. He was taught to rely upon the authority of the church above everything else. Mike, though, searched the scriptures. And when he searched the scriptures, he was amazed to find out that what he read in the scripture contradicted the teaching and tradition of the church. That, well, it had been but a part of his life for so long. He placed his trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. And today, the Bible is his sole authority in all matters of faith. Mike is the author of various books, Preparing for Eternity, Contending for the Gospel as well. He's produced numerous videos with warnings concerning false teachings versus the truth of the scriptures. Mike, thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Well, thanks for having me, Jim. It's always good to be with you.
Mike, let's begin by defining some terms. When we use the word devout, as we are in our conversation today, our program, Devout Catholic versus Devout Christian, what does this word devout mean?
Well, it's interesting because the word devout is often defined as having or showing deep religious feeling or commitment. It describes one who is totally committed to a cause or belief, and therefore it shows a loyalty and a dedication to a religion and its teachings. So someone who adheres to and practices the teachings and ordinances of a religion will obviously follow the precepts that the religion lays forth. And so that's important as we discuss the topic today.
Yeah, indeed. And you were once a devout Catholic. That's part of your bio, Mike, as to who you were. But tell us, first of all, what does this mean? What does it mean to be a devout Catholic?
Well, I think it means different things to different people. For example, as a devout Catholic for many years of my life, I really was a strong defender of what I believed was the one true church. And I was very religious in that I attended Mass every day during Lent. And I was practicing the sacraments and doing all I could to obey the laws of the church. I supported the church financially, and it's really interesting when you look at the word devout and how it defines a Catholic. You know, a Catholic is baptized into its religion, and then they're immediately indoctrinated into different teachings of the church. And the one that I think really impressed me the most was it was the one true church founded by Christ. And so I was trusting my religion to get me to heaven. I wasn't trusting God. And I think that's the big difference between a devout Catholic and a devout Christian.
Mm-hmm. So is just to clarify here, is being a devout Catholic the same or different as being a devout Christian? And I think for clarification purposes, too, in your answer, Mike, it'd be important to define what a Christian is.
Well, sure. Well, real briefly, a devout Catholic is one who is loyal to his religion, participates in the sacraments, obeys the moral law, and accepts the teachings of Christ as interpreted by the Catholic Church. And so there are minimum requirements, and that would include, of course, the obligation of attending Mass every Sunday under the penalty of mortal sin. So when you look at the definition that the Federalists define a devout Catholic, it's a politician who claims to be Catholic, yet dissents from the Church's social teaching on causes that are near and dear to leftist pundits. So on the one hand, Biden, who claims to be a devout Catholic, supports taxpayer-funded abortion, has officiated in same-sex weddings, and has vowed to force nuns to buy the birth control pill and to allow it.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes devout Catholics will also be devoted to Mary and the Rosary. So you contrast that, Jim, with a devout Christian. And the first point of difference is a devout Christian is one who is born of the Spirit of God. That's their entrance into Christianity, and they're baptized by one Spirit into one body, the Church. And so once a Christian has been born again, then he loves the Lord his God with all of his heart, mind, soul, and strength. And this is the first and the greatest commandment, according to Jesus. So true followers of Christ are devout as they commit their lives to loving and living for God and his glory. They have a sincere and pure devotion to Christ, according to the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 11:3. And I can also say, as a devout Christian, it's one who abides in God's word to know the truth. And that, of course, is the protection against any false teaching. So you can see, on one hand, a devout Catholic is dedicated to his religion, whereas a devout Christian is dedicated to serving and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ.
So according to Scripture, Mike, is it possible to be a devout Catholic and a devout Christian at the same time?
Well, not according to the definition of a Roman Catholic. A Roman Catholic is one who has been baptized into his religion and believes the teachings of its church regarding salvation. So a born-again Christian is one who has repented from any false way and believes the gospel of Christ as their only hope of salvation. And so there are born-again Christians in the Catholic Church who possibly have heard the gospel from a radio broadcast like VCY, and the Spirit of God will eventually move them out when they are discipled in the truth. But it is impossible for a devout Catholic to be a devout Christian without first repenting and believing the gospel of Christ.
So there is a difference of allegiance then between a devout Catholic and a devout Christian?
Yes, their loyalties are different. As a devout Catholic, I was completely loyal to my church and a strong defender of its teachings. But now as a devout Christian, my loyalty is to Christ and him alone.
Okay, so where is the contrast, Mike? I mean, what there must be something then, because many who are in the Catholic Church say, I'm devout, but I follow the teachings of Scripture here. You know, what exactly are we talking about? Where is the difference?
Well, the difference lies in what the Catholic Church has added to the gospel of Christ. Roman Catholics believe that you are saved by faith plus works, grace plus merit, Christ plus other mediators, and their teachings are according to the Bible plus their traditions, and ultimately glory goes to God and to Mary and the saints. Whereas a devout Christian is one who believes they are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to Scripture alone, all for the glory of God alone. And Jim, you may recognize that. That was the voice of the Reformers, because they came out of the Catholic Church, and until they started reading the Bible, they were unaware that salvation was by the five solas, grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to Scripture alone.
Mike Gendron is our guest here today on Crosstalk, founder and director of Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. Mike, let's bring abortion further into our discussion here today. As far as the official teaching of the Roman Catholic Church regarding abortion, what exactly does it say? What does it teach on this issue?
Well, again, the authority of the Roman Catholic Church is the Catechism of the Catholic Church that builds itself upon previous councils and also previous catechisms. And this was blessed and endorsed by Pope Benedict in 1996. This is what the Catholic Church teaches regarding abortion. It states that since the first century, the Church has affirmed the moral evil of every pronounced abortion. This teaching has not changed and remains unchangeable. Direct abortion, that is to say abortion willed either as an end or as a means, is gravely contrary to the moral law. So the key there, Jim, is that it's unchangeable. This has been going on for 2,000 years, according to the Catholic Catechism, and so it's still as important today as it was 2,000 years ago.
So can one be a devout Catholic and promote abortion like we see coming from Joe Biden?
Well, it's definitely a conflict of moral conscience, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if Joe Biden really understands what it means to be a devout Catholic, because each time we hear that description of Joe, it's because he attends church regularly.
Right.
Well, that's far from being a devout Catholic. So a devout Catholic would be one who embraces the official teachings of the Catholic Church, including the teaching on abortion.
There have been a number of high-ranking bishops that have spoken out about President Biden being a devout Catholic. What are they saying?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I did a little research on this, Jim, and you can see the great divide between Joe Biden and Catholic bishops. Archbishop Jose Gomez of Los Angeles, who's the president of the U.S. Conference on Catholic Bishops, he marked Biden's inauguration by saying, "Our new president has pledged to pursue certain policies that would advance moral evils and threaten human life and dignity, most seriously in the areas of abortion, contraception, marriage, and gender." And then you have Archbishop Salvador Cordeloni, who happens to be the Archbishop of Nancy Pelosi's home archdiocese in San Francisco. By the way, Nancy Pelosi claims to be a devout Catholic as well. This bishop said there are many issues of very grave moral consequences that Catholics must weigh in good conscience when they vote. He said, but one thing is clear, no Catholic in good conscience can favor abortion. Right to choose is a smokescreen for perpetuating an entire industry that profits from one of the most heinous evils imaginable. Our land is soaked with the blood of the innocent, and it must stop. And Jim, you mentioned the Archbishop of Kansas City. He said it is deeply disturbing and tragic that any president would praise and commit to codifying a Supreme Court ruling that denies unborn children their most basic human and civil right, the right to life.
Hi. Mike Gendron is with us here today on Crosstalk, our topic, devout Catholicism versus devout Christianity, and what's the difference between the two, and we'll delve more into these issues after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where did the idea come from that there were little green men who lived on Mars?
Chris, the idea that there was intelligent life on Mars was given a big boost in the late 19th century when the American astronomer Percival Lowell claimed that he saw linear features on Mars, which he claimed were canals. Later, it became obvious that the Martian atmosphere could not support advanced forms of life, so they've given up the idea. What they haven't given up is the idea that there might be microbes on Mars, single-cell life. This idea is fueling the modern expeditions to Mars to find water. The idea is if they can find water, then maybe there's life. But while water is a necessary condition for life, it's not sufficient. Life is much too complex to have formed haphazardly. It needs a lot more than water. NASA could save a lot of money by going back to Genesis for their starting point.
Thank you, Dr. John.
This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
Listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Mike Gendron is with us today from Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. We trust that you'll stay tuned for our discussion today. We'll also have opportunity for you to call and ask a question of our guest here today. Mike, we were talking about this whole matter, devout Catholic versus devout Christian, and certainly the press secretary, Jen Psaki, as well as the media have been just giving great accolades to President Joe Biden now being a devout Catholic. As you pointed out, Nancy Pelosi has been called a devout Catholic as well. She has called herself that. We were talking here as the break came about some of the high-ranking bishops and others who have spoken out about President Biden being a devout Catholic, and you've got some more information to share concerning that.
Yes, Jim, it'd be good if Joe Biden would listen to some of his high-ranking bishops and cardinals, because Cardinal Raymond Burke, who's a canon lawyer, said Biden is not a Catholic in good standing and he should not receive Holy Communion because a Catholic may not support abortion because it is one of the most grievous sins against human life. Burke went on to say, I would tell him not to receive Holy Communion because that would be a sacrilege and a danger to the salvation of his very soul. He's also giving scandal to everyone by calling himself a devout Catholic and not obeying the teachings of the Catholic Church. But it's really interesting because Pope Francis has really embraced Joe Biden in areas not related to abortion, but this is how Pope Francis states abortion. He said, we cannot stay silent when nearly a million unborn lives are being cast aside in our country year after year through abortion. Goes on to say, abortion is a direct attack on life that also wounds the woman and undermines the family. It is not only a private matter, it raises troubling and fundamental questions of fraternity, solidarity, and inclusion in the human community. Now, Jim, you and I know that Pope Francis has made a lot of bizarre statements, but you and I would both embrace his position on abortion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we noticed that the liberal media has had quite a different perspective on devout Roman Catholic Amy Coney Barrett in her nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court here just months ago, as they do for devout Roman Catholic Joe Biden running for president. Could you comment on that difference?
Yeah, it's an interesting contrast. The major media outlets and reporters have celebrated Biden's Catholicism as devout without noting his opposition to Catholic teaching. Yet these same politicians and media criticize the Catholicism of Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett for her adherence to certain Catholic principles. They refer to her as being an extremist. And so I think you and I both know, and your audience knows, the difference is that Barrett was pro-life and Biden is pro-abortion.
Yeah, and so that's the difference, but yet both would hold, you know, consider themselves as being devout Catholic.
That's true.
Hmm. On the abortion issue, it really appears that President Biden is more concerned about babies being snatched from their mother's arms at the border than babies being snatched and destroyed from their mother's womb. What's your comment on that?
Well, nothing depicts the depraved character of a person as the one who intentionally supports the horrific torture and killing of defenseless babies. And those who support such wickedness or vote for people who do are carrying out the agenda of our Lord's adversary, and that is the devil who came to lie, to steal, to kill, and destroy. So for Biden to have this hypocrisy about wanting to protect children at the border but not wanting to protect the unborn children in a mother's womb is truly hypocrisy at its best.
Mike, you're not a devout Roman Catholic any longer. It's part of your resume. For over three decades, you were a devout Roman Catholic, but you're not any longer. Tell our listeners why not.
Well, the reason I'm not is because I opened the Word of God, the Bible, and began reading it for the first time at age 35. And as I was reading it over several months, I had a crisis of faith because what I was discovering in the Bible was a different plan of salvation than what I'd been taught as a Roman Catholic. And so my crisis of faith came to a point where I had to trust Christ and his word over the teachings and traditions of my religion. So it was at that point that the Lord granted me repentance, and I exchanged my religion for a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that literally turned my life upside down, because I quickly realized that the only two things in this life that are eternal are the souls of men and the Word of God. And at that point, I wanted to dedicate the rest of my life to the two things that would last throughout all eternity. And it's for that reason, Jim, that I have such a compassion and such a burden for reaching Roman Catholics. I was one for so many years, and had not I been aware of the truth of God's Word, I would still be lost and deceived and not even aware of it.
Mike, let me ask you this, because I'm sure there's some people that are rather outraged by your being on the program today and say, don't you know that this is Ash Wednesday, it's the beginning of Lent? How can you say such things, especially on a day like today?
Well, true love means that you will tell the truth to those who are perishing, and Roman Catholics may not recognize they are perishing because they're following what the Church has taught them rather than what the Bible has made aware or made available to them. And so I would encourage anyone that's listening that might be doubting my words is to not trust me, but trust the Word of God. Go there, and then you will test every man's teaching with the authority of Scripture. And ultimately, I think that's the most important thing that any Catholic that might be listening today could do. They have three different authorities as Catholics, and they need to know that the Bible reigns superior over the traditions of their church and the infallible teachings of their Pope. There's no higher authority than Almighty God, and he's revealed himself through his inspired, inerrant, infallible, authoritative word. And that's what we need to trust, and we need to test every teaching against the authority of God's word.
Mike, you've got a teaching DVD that you're offering to our listeners today. I'd like you to tell us about it. It's entitled, I'm a Christian, You're a Catholic, So What's the Difference?
Yeah, it's my latest DVD, and there's so much confusion on whether or not Catholicism is a valid expression of Christianity. And until 60 years ago, the distinction between Catholics and Christians was very clear. However, in more recent times, we've seen unity accords between Catholics and Christians, and the average Christian is confused right now, and they don't know whether to recognize the Catholic Church as a huge mission field that needs to be evangelized, or if they represent a Christian denomination made up of brothers and sisters in Christ. And so in this DVD message, I point out the critical differences between what a Christian is and what a Catholic is, and ultimately, it's the difference between a person who believes the gospel of Jesus Christ and one who believes the teachings and traditions of the Catholic Church.
And I see you've discounted this DVD for our Crosstalk listeners here today.
Yes, I have. So anyone that's listening to the program today or even in a recorded session later on can simply go to our website, and we've already reduced the price of the DVD so that VCY listeners can receive a discount. Or they can actually call us at the end of the program at 817-379-5300. We're offering a new publication, complimentary as well. It's entitled, You Can Never Do What Christ Has Done. And in this publication, I show the error of trusting in what you are doing to save yourself rather than what Christ has done. And it really shows a good overview of everything Christ has done. In fact, he's done everything necessary to save sinners completely and forever. And that's why salvation is offered by grace alone, because of the work of Jesus Christ. So this is offered complimentary along with the DVD that's discounted for VCY listeners.
Okay, so folks, you'll find it on his website. We'll give you the web address here and how you can get it. He's marked it down to this DVD for $12 there to their ministry. $12, and you can go to this website, proclaimingthegospel.org, proclaimingthegospel.org. Just click on store at the top of the page there, and then after you get the store, you can click on video messages on DVD. You'll see other things, books there. You'll see downloads, etc. But if you click on video messages on DVD, and it's on their second page of DVDs, and it's again entitled, I'm a Christian, you're a Catholic, so what's the difference? So you can go there, proclaimingthegospel.org, or after the program, you may call them at this number, 817-379-5300. And to those who get the DVD, they're putting in a complimentary copy of the publication, You Can Never Do What Christ Has Done. And so you're going to be slipping one of those in with each one of these DVDs, correct, Mike?
That's correct.
Okay, so again, proclaimingthegospel.org. Friends, we want to have some extended time on the phones today, so we're opening our lines. Find something Mike said that you disagree with, you want to challenge him on. Maybe it's something you've been following. You consider yourself a devout Catholic and say, hey, wait a second. I thought I was a devout Christian here, and he's saying there's a difference between the two. Pick up your phone. Give us a call here today, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Our line is open here for Crosstalk today, and we'll take your calls with Mike Gendron. And, Mike, it really comes down to a matter of authority, does it not?
Yes, it really does. We need to know where to go for truth. And Roman Catholics go three different places, and the Bible teaches that we need to find truth in the infallible Word of God.
Mm-hmm. So, friends, again, our number to Crosstalk and lines are filling up here, 800-733-9829. We're going to begin with Ann in Milwaukee. Hi, Ann, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I hope I can articulate what I'm trying to say here, but if not, you'll just have to take it that I'm speaking from my heart. But I, too, was a Roman Catholic for more than 40 years of my life, and I just want to tell you that this is kind of I'm just thankful for VCY Radio, because I was a stubborn person when I came to my Catholic faith. Nothing anybody said would, I wouldn't listen. I was true to my faith, and, going to Mass, the feast days, observing all of the things that Catholics observe. Until one day I was in my kitchen, it was around Easter time, I was drawn to my knees by a radio program that was on WVCY, and the power of the Holy Spirit just opened up my eyes to the truth of the real gospel, what I was reading as opposed to what I was being taught in the Catholic Church. So I want to just tell you the importance of your radio station. Mm-hmm. And how my soul my heart belongs to Jesus today.
Amen.
Because I was just overtaken by the Holy Spirit at that moment, and I've never been the same since. My heart belongs to Jesus, and that's the truth.
Amen.
The simple truth.
Amen. God bless you, Ann. Thank you for your call. Mike, that's the power of the gospel.
Well, it really is, and that's not the first testimony I've heard of people listening to VCY Radio and coming to a true saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we praise God for you, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Well, friends, we are just seconds from the break, so rather than interrupt our next call, we're going to be taking the break, and then we'll come back and take more of your phone calls. Mike Gendron is our guest. Again, his ministry is Proclaiming the Gospel. ProclaimingTheGospel.org is the website, and I'm confident you'll benefit from the teaching DVD, I'm a Christian, You're a Catholic, So What's the Difference? And you'll find that there, and to each one who gets the DVD through his ministry, he's putting in a copy of this brand-new publication, a complimentary brochure entitled You Can Never Do What Christ Has Done. We'll be back in 1 minute with, the next segment will be all your phone calls here on Crosstalk, so we'll pick up more calls right after the break here on the VCY America Network.
How is your marriage relationship? Do you have a spirit-filled marriage? Is your marriage one in which the lost world can look in and see Christ represented? Many of us know that we are called to have such a marriage, but fail to make it happen, perhaps due to lack of knowledge on the topic. In the booklet, What Does a Spirit-Filled Marriage Look Like?, biblical counselor Susan Heck draws principles from the book of Ephesians. She presents 13 doctrines that guide a marriage that will bring glory to God. You'll learn about humility, forgiveness, generosity, unity, and much more. You'll also learn not only to know these principles, but how to grow them in your marriage relationship. VCY is offering one copy of this booklet for a donation of $6, 5 copies for a donation of $24, or 10 copies for $42. Just call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Mike Gendron is our guest today from Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry, Devout Catholic versus Devout Christian, our topic today. Mike, just before we pick up this next call, let me just ask you this. So he's been described, President Biden, as being a devout Catholic, attends church regularly, attends the Mass. Most every Sunday he is there. Is that the same kind of view that his selection for vice president also shares?
Well, not really. In fact, according to the Federalist, the Vice President Kamala Harris is the most anti-Catholic politician to serve in public office since the 19th century.
Hmm.
And former Notre Dame coach Lou Holtz told the truth about Joe Biden and his vice president. Holtz said the Biden-Harris ticket is the most radically pro-abortion campaign in history. They and other politicians are Catholics in name only and abandon innocent lives. And yet another profile in cowardice, Notre Dame immediately distanced itself from the remarks. And so you see there's a lot of liberal Catholics that are supporting Joe Biden. In fact, Jim, Joe Biden clearly is aware of the influence he has over American Catholics. In fact, he's got more Catholics on his side than the Pope has on his. According to a recent survey, 77% of Catholics who claim to be Christians are pro-abortion. And so Joe Biden's influence over American Catholicism will only increase as his term in office continues.
Wow. Let's go to David. David in Phoenix, Arizona. You're on the air, David.
Yes, sir. Thank you. It's Mike and Jim.
Yes.
Thank you. May God bless you. I'm calling as a humble Catholic Christian, just to ask the question to encourage you with regard to the Bible. Remember, Jesus didn't write a book. He established a group of people called the church, his followers. We are that group of people. The Catholic Church was the only church that's Christian for 1,500 years until the printing press was established, right? And they said, I'm going to go make my own church. But the churches that rebel against the church that Christ himself established are Protestants. They protest. They say, oh, we don't like this or that. So they go make their own church. But when they do that, they leave the church that Christ himself established.
Okay, David, before you go further, we're going to have Mike respond to what you've said so far here. Mike?
Well, sure, David. It's true. Jesus did not write a book. He sent 7 letters to 7 churches in the book of Revelation. But throughout the Bible, we see that Jesus is the personification of truth. He said, I am the truth. And he also said, thy word is truth. He said he came to testify to the truth, and everybody on the side of truth listens to him. So, David, if you're really searching for the truth, you should go no further than Christ and his word. And Jesus did establish one church. And 400 years after he established it, the Roman Catholic Church was formed as it started drifting into apostasy by departing from the faith of the apostles to follow the traditions of men. In fact, even demonic traditions. We see in 1 Timothy 4:1 that in latter times some will depart from the faith and follow the teachings and traditions of demons. And so Paul goes on to define one of those demonic traditions forbidding people to marry, and that's the mark of the Roman Catholic Church. So, David, I would just encourage you to spend your time in the Word, and then you will know the truth.
Sir, please, yes. The Catholic Church does not forbid marriage. It encourages. It's one of the 7 sacraments.
The clergy is not allowed to marry. The Catholic Church forbids its priests and nuns to marry. That's the doctrine of demons.
If you would look more into it, you'll see maybe differently than what you think. I guess to encourage you, sir, when you be careful, please, because you don't want to fall into hypocrisy, because when you point to the scriptures and say it's your sole authority, Jesus never did that. And remember, like you said, Jesus is the one with whom we have a relationship. That is the Catholic Christian Church. We are a Christian church. And so when it comes to the difference you're trying to sow, discord, there is none. There is no difference.
Okay.
Catholics are Christians, sir. And when you point to the scriptures, think about John chapter 6. Didn't Jesus say that this is my body? Like you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. And in all four Gospels, he said, this is my body at the Last Supper. That's the core, that's the crux, the pinnacle of the teachings of the Catholic Church, the Eucharist.
Okay,
it's
Mike?
Not just a symbol, it's his real body.
Okay, we're going to have Mike respond here. Mike, go ahead.
Sure, in John chapter 6, Jesus has just fed the 5,000 a free lunch, and so now they've crossed the Sea of Galilee to follow him, looking for another free lunch. And so Jesus starts to speak figuratively. He said he is the bread from heaven, and the bread that he supplies now is his body for spiritual nourishment. If you look at verse 40 of John chapter 6 and verse 54, you will see that one verse says, whoever beholds and believes has eternal life and will be raised up on the last day. Verse 54 says, whoever eats my body and drinks my blood has eternal life and will be raised up on the last day. So the only two ways that those two verses can be true is if one is figurative and one is literal. Because what happens if a person eats and drinks but doesn't behold and believe? Do they have eternal life? Or what happens if a person beholds and believes but doesn't eat and drink? The only way to harmonize those two verses is to take verse 40 literal and verse 54 figurative. And that's what Jesus said in John 16:25. I have spoken to you in a figurative language. So you need to be careful, David, not to take things literally where Jesus meant to be taken figuratively.
Yeah, let me just ask you too here, David. You mentioned that you need to be careful when you say to take the Bible as your sole authority. And you said that Jesus didn't never, you know, put that kind of trust and confidence in his word. Is that what you were saying?
I believe the trust and confidence is in God, Almighty God.
Not
in the flesh is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so he established the church. He didn't write a book.
Who didn't?
The point is, you guys are placing your authority on the Bible when the authority is God Almighty.
Oh my, but what we understand that all scripture, we're told, David, is given by inspiration of God. It is God breathed. And it is God who has inspired scripture. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It is God's writing. It is God's book.
I hear you, sir. And remember, the word was made flesh. And
mm-hmm.
if you look at the word literally, like you're saying not to do, then what you're doing is being hypocritical, because the scriptures itself don't say that scripture is the sole authority.
Okay. Thank you for the call. Mike, a final comment. We're going to move on to the next caller.
I would just ask David, what higher authority is there other than Almighty God, who created everything, and he has revealed himself and his plan of redemption through his inspired and errant word? So there is no higher authority than Almighty God.
Thank you, David. Let's go to Courtney in Miami, Florida. You're on the air. Hello, Courtney.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
God bless you. I'm glad you all were on the day with David before, because I deal with Catholics. And the thing is, I just want to read one verse right fast, Galatians, two verses. But though we or angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And then ninth, he says it again, as we said before, so say I again, if any man, that's the Pope, any man, cardinal, any man, those so-called Catholic bishops, preach any other gospel unto you than that we have received, let him be accursed. My mother was a Catholic. I went to a Catholic church, and I pray to God that my mother be saved and come out of that. That's not God's church. There's only one way to the Lord, and that's with the grace of God, which he allows his son, Jesus Christ, the Savior, when he shed his blood on the cross. I feel so sorry for Catholics. No, in the Old Testament, all you see is God couldn't forgive a certain sin, and that was them killing their babies, like the so-called president today, talking about abortion, abortion, abortion. That's murder. And God don't want nobody to shed no innocent blood. And one thing, I think your guest today on the program, because I want to buy some CDs, and this is a good one, Saint, to order so you can give to your Catholic friends, because he's been in it, and God delivered him out of it. And I thank God for taking me out of it before I got in it. I thank God for saving me, because I'm one thing, I'm a saint, and I'm sanctified and living for God through the grace of God. God bless you all now.
Thank you, Courtney. Mike, I was thinking, too, of the earlier caller. Scripture itself says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I mean, that's referring to the written scriptures themselves.
That's correct. Jesus is the personification of truth, and his word is truth. So you're right. But praise God for Courtney.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he mentioned Galatians 1:6-9. And Jim, by the authority of Scripture, we can say that the Roman Catholic clergy is under the divine condemnation of God for preaching another gospel, because it's clear that the Roman Catholic plan of salvation is by, you're saved by your works, your good works, you're saved by the sacraments, you're saved by obeying the law, you're saved by indulgences, and through purgatory as a purification. These are all things that have been added to the glorious gospel of grace. And so by the authority of Scripture, the Catholic Church is under divine condemnation, which is why we have to have compassion for Catholics and rescue them out from this church that has gone apostate and needs to be, the Catholics need to be reached with the gospel.
Let's go to our next caller, Scott. Hi, Scott. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Scott.
Hi, I have a question. We just had St. Valentine's Day, that's St. Patrick's Day is coming up. And we have all these things that, you know, Roman Catholics have added to the culture, you know, a lot of pagan holidays.
And what is your question, Scott?
I want to ask the audience, are you keeping Christmas and Easter? Those are pagan holidays. John 4:24 says,
okay, Scott, let me ask you this. Do you have a question for our guest today?
Christ.
Hello, Scott. Do you have a question for our guest today?
I just gave it to you, sir.
Oh, okay. And you just mentioned for the audience. Okay, Mike, your response to holidays.
Well, we go to the Bible as our supreme authority for truth. And in the Bible, we are told to worship the Lord Jesus Christ every day of the week. We don't need special holidays to do that. So I know where Scott is coming from regarding the pagan traditions of Christ Mass, but that's another topic for another day.
Yeah,
and let's just stick with the topic of today.
Yeah, and indeed, folks, and we understand that when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Why? To redeem them who were under the law. And so we certainly praise God and rejoice that a Savior was born. Let's see, we've got, we're within 30 seconds of the break, so we'll pick up calls right afterwards. Gene, you'll be our next caller. I know you've been holding very long. Thank you for your patience. So we'll be picking up more calls right after the break. Let me quick mention Mike's special offer today. He has on DVD the teaching that he has conducted, I'm a Christian, You're a Catholic, So What's the Difference? If you don't know what the difference is, I think you're going to find help in this DVD that they make available for $12. He's discounted it for our Crosstalk listeners here today. Go to his website, proclaimingthegospel.org. Click on store, then under video messages, you'll find it there. Also, they're sending a complimentary publication with that DVD, You Can Never Do What Christ Has Done. We'll also give you their phone number that you'll be able to call right after the program and interact further with Mike or to obtain these materials. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. For 30 years, I've been researching the topic of brainwashing. For the past 2 years, I have been in production for a brand new docu-movie entitled Brainwashed America. We've made a big decision here, and that is to release it online for free. If you go to brainwashedthemovie.com, that's brainwashedthemovie.com, you can watch the first 2 hours absolutely free of charge. Part two will come out May 1st, Communist Day, May Day. Many Americans ask me all the time, what can we do? As you'll see in this documentary, Ronald Reagan, he narrated a black and white documentary back in the 1950s. And he and many others agreed that the ultimate weapon of the communist was brainwashing, disinformation. And the greatest way to fight it is with truth. Use this documentary to open the minds of Americans. This is your chance. BrainwashedTheMovie.com.
Our program is called Crosstalk. Mike Gendron, our guest here today, and let's get right back to the phone lines. Jean is calling in from Delavan, Wisconsin. Jean, thank you for your patience. You're on the air.
Okay. Hi. I was brought up, I'm a Judeo-Christian. I was brought up Catholic. And I will say, and I'm very grateful for my Catholic indoctrination, because Jesus is Lord of the Catholic Church. No question about that. But it has its shortcomings, and it's false teaching. But people still love the Lord. And
well, okay, so let me just ask you, Jean, because you said Jesus is Lord of the Catholic Church, but they have false teachings.
Yes.
So how do you
and
equate those two?
False doctrine.
False doctrine. Well, that's false teaching. So how can Jesus be the Lord of the Catholic Church while they're promoting false teaching?
Because we teach the Bible. We teach the Bible real. We have false teaching about Mary's ascension and maybe a few other things, but I respect them on their sticking to their guns on abortion. And I went in prayer on that about that one time when it became born again. And the Lord told me I love all my children. So, because I was thinking about switching the church, and I do go to other churches. But I don't like you guys stick on Catholics a lot. And I don't, those people that support abortion are not real Catholics. But no, Catholic Church is not perfect, but Jesus is Lord of the Catholic Church.
Okay, thank you for your comment. Mike, let's respond here to the caller there. How can Jesus be Lord when the church itself has these false teachings? And you've pointed out many false teachings.
Well, we've already talked about the false gospel of the Roman Catholic Church that is under divine condemnation by the authority of Galatians 1:6-9. So if Jesus is Lord, then Roman Catholics would recognize that the gospel that is being taught in the Catholic Church is a false gospel, and they would come out from her and not participate in the sins of idolatry, because when they lift up the Eucharist, they are saying that is the physical body and blood, soul, and divinity of Christ to be worshipped. And that is idolatry, because the Lord Jesus is bodily present at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and his body cannot be omnipresent, only his spirit. So he will not come again to this earth until all of his enemies have been made his footstool. So I would just encourage Gene to abide in God's word. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free from religious deception.
Anne is our next caller. Hi, Anne. You're on the air.
Yes. I just want to make two comments, and then you can elaborate on them. One is everything that Jesus said not to do about idols and praying in any other name other than himself, the Catholics do. They worship Mary. That's number one. And number two, if I'm not mistaken, the greatest sin is to go against the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, the unpardonable sin. And they have changed the Bible.
Okay. Mike, your response.
Sure, Anne. Yeah, they have added some apocryphal books to the Bible, but they still have the 66 books that the Bible that we use also has. And I would encourage anyone listening, if you're witnessing to a Roman Catholic, use their Bible and stay in the 66 books. Go through the Gospel and Romans and use that, because Roman Catholics are told not to trust anything from the Protestant Church. So use the Catholic Bible when you witness the Catholics.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the call here, Ann. Mike, again, to earlier caller here who mentioned Jesus is Lord of the Catholic Church, but why then would they pray to Mary and not to God as we're directed?
Well, because, again, that is one of the false teachings of the Catholic Church. They actually have exalted Mary to the position of advocate and co-mediatrix of all grace. She's robbed Christ of his glory that he alone deserves. And, of course, this is another Mary. The Catholic Church not only has another Jesus, another gospel, and is led by another spirit, but they promote another Mary. That is not found in Scripture, and so I would encourage once again for Catholics, if they want to really know the Mary of the Bible, to read the Scriptures.
Mike is calling from Phoenix, Arizona. Mike, you're on the air.
Well, he just swerved into it and kind of stole my thunder a little bit, but the fundamental problem that the two Catholic callers have demonstrated is that the Catholic Church is worshiping a different Jesus than the Jesus of the Bible. I'm an evangelist here in Phoenix. I primarily deal with Mormons, but occasionally I get to interact with Catholics. And so I'll tell them that they worship a different Jesus. And like these other callers, they'll say, no, we all worship the same Jesus. So I'll scratch my beard and I'll say, well, all right, maybe I misunderstand. My Jesus died for, well, the Jesus of the Bible, is better to say. The Jesus of the Bible died for all my sins. Did your Jesus die for all your sins? They say, oh, yes. Say, so when I die, I'm going directly to heaven. Are you? And most of them will get the right answer, a Catholic answer, and say, well, no, I got to go to purgatory. And I'll say, what and why? And they'll say, to work off my sins. Aha! We worship a different Jesus. And from there, it's a different spirit and a different gospel.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike, for raising that. And earlier caller kind of alluded to this too, Mike, from Galatians 1 about being another gospel, which is really not another. And Paul had some strong condemnation there.
Yeah, he really did. In fact, he even said, even if I come back and preach another gospel, I am to be anathema, condemned, turned over to God for destruction. So even if an angel from heaven. And so, you know, I think the main point about the different Jesuses, the Jesus of the Bible finished the work of redemption on the cross. The Catholic Jesus continues the work of redemption on an altar. And so he's an insufficient Jesus that did not complete the work of redemption, and it's a false Christ, and Catholics need to be aware of that.
I'm going to squeeze one last caller in. Jan in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I was a devout Catholic for 30 years, and I'm a devout Christian now, praise the Lord. But I urge the reader, the listeners, to open up their Bibles to the last page of the Bible and compare it to Exodus 20, where it says in the back of the book, that if you change even a jot or a tittle, that's a cross on a T or a dot on an I of any word of this book, it's going to be pretty bad for you. And in Exodus 20, Jesus wrote those Ten Commandments with his own finger. Now, mere man is claiming that he's the replacement to God on earth as the Pope, and he's changed the commandments drastically to embrace his worship of statues and to change and make the covenant or the...
I'll tell you what, and I apologize, Jan, but I've got less than a minute in the program. I want Mike to have 20 seconds here to respond here to your comment. Mike?
Yes, Jan, you're just sharing a little bit about what you know about the false teachings of Catholicism and how they distorted the Word of God. But more than ever, I just hope all of our listeners today would have a deeper compassion and love for Catholics so that they would want to share the gospel with them.
Thank you, Jan. And again, I apologize for having to call cut your call short here today. Mike Gendron with us here. And folks, if you want to follow up with his ministry, send an email through his website. If some questions you have or obtain the materials, you can call even to obtain this DVD, 817-379-5300. Thank you, Mike, for being with us.
Always a blessing. Thank you, Jim.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.